Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians. And so, siblings in faith, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the God assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building.
So my dad was always in charge of packing our school lunches when I was a kid. My mother, who was a flight attendant, was often already at work by the time we woke up to go to school in the morning. So he was in charge of getting us out the door and ready for school. Now, being an owner of a fine dining James Beard Award winning restaurant, my dad was literally incapable of just packing a peanut butter sandwich or a Lunchable. When I sat down at the lunch table when I was at school, there was this elaborate meal inside of my lunchbox, ready for a line chef to like just put out on the table. Now, this may have sounded really exotic and fun for any kid to have such a variety of foods, which looking back, I'm very grateful for this experience. But as you can imagine, a fourth grader with a deconstructed Caesar salad and an amuse-bouche was not something to think great of, but instead was something that I was teased and made fun of a lot. One day, just before school, my younger sister Emily and I staged somewhat of an intervention, if you will. My dad came into the kitchen, and there we were, sitting at the kitchen table waiting for him. And my sister said to him, Dad, we cannot do this anymore. We cannot take the fancy food to school anymore. And my father, he responded with like this, he just could not believe it that we didn't love it. And he said, don't you know how lucky you are? Don't you see how hard I work and how much love I put into your school lunches every day? And my sister, she took my dad's hand and looked him in the eyes and said, Dad, kid food says I love you too. Before I continue, is this a little tingy for you all this morning? So just a little bit? I might move over to the other mic just so you can hear me a little bit better. Okay, thanks for letting me know. All right, does that sound a little bit better? Good. So the Apostle Paul, he was a little harsh in his words, too, about what the Corinthians were eating spiritually at the time. But he essentially is saying to the Corinthians is they don't need this fancy spiritual food. The kids' stuff will do just fine. God's peanut butter and jelly for the soul is waiting for them, spiritual food that will actually nourish them and help them to thrive in the moments that they are in. But the Corinthians, they have forgotten about nourishing their spirits. They have forgotten what it means to be a growing community, or at least what kind of growth they are called to. They have become like quarreling siblings, fighting over petty things like which leader to follow, Paul or Apollos. How many butts in pews can they recruit? Who has climbed the ladder of the Corinthian church leadership at the fastest? Paul essentially calls them a bunch of babies here, not only to show them that their immaturity of their division within the community is what is tearing them apart, but also to remind them that there is still a lifelong spiritual journey that they are on. There's still much growth to happen. And while they are really focused on growing by numbers and power and by success, they have forgotten to attend to the spiritual growth that God offers them within their own spirits. And I love how Paul talks about spiritual growth, very different than the way we talk about growth in other areas of our lives. He talks about it as nourishment, nourishing like food to the body, nourishing like water is to a seed, nourishing like a field is to a farmer, nourishing like a building is for those seeking shelter. I think many of us are experiencing a very critical time in our lives that we could lean into nourishing our spirits with what they need to be well, to grow and to thrive, or else we could live in ways that deprive, starve, and malnourish. Just in the last month, I've had more conversations than I've had in all of my years of ministry with people who are rethinking career paths, where they live, who their friends are, and what matters to them, because they are essentially asking the question, how do I want to nourish my life? Much of this questioning has been brought on by the experience of living in a pandemic for the last year plus, where life literally felt very fragile and unguaranteed. The food that literally nourished our bodies was empty on grocery store shelves for a couple of weeks, and food pantry lines were miles long. The connections that we took for granted were literally disconnected, and people were not only dealing with the COVID pandemic, but a secondary pandemic of loneliness and isolation. And while restaurants and bars, office buildings and places of worship, airports and hair salons are opening back up, we can easily become convinced that life is getting back to normal, and so should we. That we can just pick up life exactly how we left it, and that the things that nourished us will be just as life It will be just as life-giving when we go back to the office or to church or to see family and friends. And yet I know for many, myself included, it doesn't feel completely true. Because not only is this pandemic not over, especially for many areas of our world that are still burying the dead, but returning to something that wasn't life-giving, wasn't actually nourishing to us in the first place, can also be just as incredibly damaging. I'm reminded of what Sonia Renee Taylor said at the beginning of the pandemic when we all longed for this moment of return, of this moment of getting back to normal. She said, "We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was never normal other than we normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return. My friends, we are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature." As Paul says, nourishment is like food to the body. Nourishment is like water is to a seed. Nourishment is like a field is to a farmer. Nourishment is like a building for those seeking shelter. And as Sonia Renee Taylor adds, nourishment is like a garment that fits all of humanity and nature. One that we are being given the opportunity to stitch anew together. And friends, we are desperate for this kind of nourishment, one in which we live for each other rather than every person for themselves. A world of nourishment in which everyone has enough, actually where there is an abundance because we live by the ethic of shared resources rather than the power struggle of hoarding it. A life of nourishment where we give of our energy towards what will make us come alive rather than deplete us, exhaust us, and leave us with nothing else left to give. A life that doesn't require us to live at a sprinter's pace, but to live at the pace that allows for us to thrive. Writer and pastor Jenny Smith says that we've been through a marathon in the last year of trying to do life and work and ministry in a pandemic. And that while we think it's over, there's actually this second marathon we're being asked to run as we reopen and reengage. While her blog post was specifically written for pastors in mind, I think what she has shared is a really good reflection for all of us, whether we are a pastor of a church, a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or a stay-at-home parent. She says this, "But I do know this, as the gears come to life in our faith communities, we have the opportunity to tell the truth, to slow the pace and question everything as we enter the new normal. Yes, our second marathon has begun, ready or not. Problem is, our bodies are still recovering from the first marathon. Maybe the answer is to stop running the second race. What if we looked at each other and gently nodded, slowed our forced jog, and started walking together? What if we walked our second marathon, side by side, no racing, no competing with anything or anyone, resting when it's time to rest, saying yes to a new idea when it glistens with possibility, saying no when something feels too heavy, asking new questions in places we assumed the old answer, giving others permission to rest because we choose to rest, questioning the speed at which we live and move, loving our people with beautiful boundaries in place, taking a nap, going to therapy and spiritual direction because we're human too, breathing deeply of God's grace and love and restoration. Maybe this is how we disrupt the deeply ingrained oppressive realities of our world. We choose to walk together." Friends, this is not only my prayer for us as individuals to walk the nourishing way, but for us as a church community to walk that way together, to offer it to others who feel thrown back into the rat race of life and long for something that will feed and nurture their spirits. If you remember, part of our church's mission statement reads as this: "We are called to offer connection, time, and space to anyone seeking spiritual nourishment." And while we are a church that has done that in different ways over time, I think we're living and doing ministry in a time where we need to be intentional about cultivating that spiritual nourishment as the priority as we regather back together. Through our worship services, our ways of caring for one another, the organizations we serve with and give towards in mission, our fellowship and friend making, even our committee work. What would these parts of our church community look and feel like if we were to engage from a place of spiritual nourishment? This is how I hope to be in ministry with you all as we re-engage and bring our community together, partnering with God to bring us a new kind of life, walking with one another through the challenges of life, living in community to share in offering the nourishment we all deserve and need. Thanks be to God. May it be so. Amen.